Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
It is our number three of the nation, the G-Bag Nation, here on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having an outstanding day. We are talking sports here with you, and the acquisition of Aldon Smith by the Cowboys last night continues to send significant ripples through Cowboys Nation. What do you think? Tweet in at G-Bag Nation if you'd like. You can text into the Autoflex Leasing Fan text at 877-881-1053. One of us is keeping an eye on that, aren't we? You got your on that,
Jeff? Time to time, I've got that thing going, yep.
Okay. Maybe you want to call in, but I'm going to tell you right now, don't be messing with Lucius's time, okay? He's doing a lot of important stuff back there in the Pimp Cup. And if you do want to call in, you better be fascinating on this topic right here. What do you think about Aldon Smith agreeing to terms with the Cowboys?
And keep calling, because I'm on the phone with my girlfriend, so I might not click over the first time.
Yeah. Just letting you know. Yeah, it might take Lucius a little bit.
Keep calling. I'm here.
He'll get around to you. So the Cowboys do this an awful lot, don't they, Brian? Have you ever worked for anybody or been around anybody that does this more than the Cowboys?
No. Now, I was in an organization in Green Bay where Ron Wolf came from the Raiders. This is where Jerry Jones gets this idea, is that back in the day with Al Davis and trying to, hey, there's a reason why this guy was this. So, yeah you go back and look at these guys, and this is where Jerry gets that. From the Raiders. And when I was with the Packers, we worked out a lot of guys this way. Maybe not signed everybody, but we were always looking for guys like this.
You could go back to the 70s Raiders would be the team
Absolutely.
In sports history that did it more than these Dallas Cowboys have for many, many years. It's not like they do everybody like this, though. I mean, they've steered very clear away from Antonio Brown. And, you know, when after doing a couple of these, they'll lay low for a while. You know, I do think they do have their finger somewhat on the pulse of how the public reacts to it. It's not like they totally don't care at all. Or would you disagree with that?
I disagree.
They totally don't care at all.
They don't care at all. And that's the whole idea. When you start listening to the fans and help you with your decisions, then your team's wrecked.
Well, I mean, but our reaction to how many so-called bad actors you bring in. That matters. Teams are aware of that. You can only do so many.
Teams look out for themselves. You know, and trust me, I've been on that. I've sat there in that chair. You know, and if you get influenced by what's going on outside of you, you'll never make the right decision. You have to do what you feel is right. Now, can you make enough bad decisions? An owner's going to fire you.
Yeah.
But if you're sitting there and allowing the fans, and I know the Tolos out there hate that for me to say that, but in all honesty, if they listen to what you're saying every day, then they're going to make bad decisions. They are.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just that's how they look at it. And I'm sorry. That's a guy that's been in that chair.
No, I appreciate the honesty. I do feel cities are different. Cities tolerate things differently. You can have a track record, a reputation, and it's good to at least have an awareness of those kind of things. But I appreciate your point. What do y'all think at 877-881-1053 or come out on at G-Bag Nation? It is a one-year deal with $2 million, and that's if he makes the team, and then a bunch of incentives could take it to $4 million. But I just saw you on Twitter, Jeff, and you had a great point. To get to $4 million, he'd have to play all 16 games and sack the quarterback 14 times. So by that point, he would have well deserved and earned that $4 million and several more that he would never see.
It would, it would be the best $4 million spent in the history of the NFL if he gets $4 million.
Yes.
Because he very, very, very likely is not getting $4 million. The only way to do that is to be basically the best defensive end in the league.
Jay Glazer said in his report, quote, clean and sober now. It's incredible how much he's turned his life around. You know, and we heard about that kind of stuff from different reporters on Randy Gregory, and then he still misstepped. So I don't think you can get so far down this path that misstepping is an impossibility.
No, I think there's two things for this story. For instance, like the person who I was retweeting and correcting was Trey Wingo, because I think it seems like his angle is this is a bad person. He doesn't deserve to have a job.
Yeah.
Where he's saying, you know, Alton Smith could make more than, and he lists all these players. And I'm like, well, no, you listed salaries. Actually, he's going to make less than every one of them in salary, so that's wrong. And if he does, it'll be because he stayed on the straight and narrow and played 16 games and played great, which, as a human, shouldn't you be pulling for as opposed to the opposite? So, like, there's two things. And I think one of them is, yeah, you have the right to give this the side eye and say, okay, he has a history of a lot of things that society and me and you and everybody doesn't approve of. And that history was probably influenced heavily by what he was putting into his body. And in theory, that's not happening anymore. He's corrected that course, and he's a better person for it. So the idea that you would, at this point in that, be like, he should not have a job, just makes me think, like,
yeah,
who hurt you, man? Like, what's wrong?
That's well said, Jeff, because
yeah,
that's exactly
well.
What it is. It's like, you know, we want, in this day and age, we're quick to jump and point the finger and, you know, and have an opinion about something we have no idea what we're talking about. You know, that's you know, we don't know, you know, Alden Smith's situation. I mean, there's people around him that care about him and know about him. The Cowboys have made this decision. They've talked to the people. They feel like that he's the right guy to bring in here now. They feel like he's turned around his life. But we'll quickly jump across the street and say, oh, no, we know better. We know better. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. You know,
yeah.
That's how you have to look at this. You know,
yeah.
You know, I guarantee this time last year when the Cowboys traded for Robert Quinn, everybody's like, why would you do that?
Yeah.
Why would you do that? And now it's like, my gosh, we got to sign Robert Quinn back. You know, make up your mind out there, folks. Make up your mind.
Okay, make up your mind and then text or tweet us at GBag Nation or 877-881-1053. The domestic violence incident in which his fiance testified against him, she said she would never be the same again, possibly. He pled guilty to violating a restraining order and for false imprisonment, and that he had bit her on her wrist. He does have a documented history of substance abuse, and it came into play there pretty good with a lot of the incidents. But the reports are the Cowboys are banking on his sobriety as a reason to believe he's going to be a good player, and he is still just 30 years old. I think that comes into play as well. That's around the age where you can start to lose some of your ability to rush the passer, but a number of really good pass rushers have been great on the other side of 30. I think it's a great risk for the money spent.
I do too, and I just think it would be a bizarre outlook on life if you're on the side of it right now where you're saying, like, he's a bad guy and you can't fix that, because that perspective is essentially cheering for him to repeat that and do something
right.
Terrible. As opposed to going, oh, man, oh, I hope he really got his life together and never hurts anyone or drives drunk again. You're choosing the, I hope he, commits another domestic violence act so I can say I was right?
Yeah.
Or you're
just
saying...
It's just a weird place to exist.
I don't want to get too deep on this, but I do think there are people that think I'm this way and I'll never change. So they're saying I can never change. I don't believe that person can change. There's a self-loathing component to this. That it's people saying, oh, no, that kind of transformation, that can't happen. I'm stuck with all of my shortcomings, so he's still the same guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think if you live long enough, you're going to transform eventually. On the other side of it, you're going to pull for people to have that same experience. And maybe you're going to be naive in believing them. But it's very possible for people to change, especially when they become motivated and they get sober. And the longer they go sober, the more and more they start to see the error of their ways and the lack of necessity to run from, you know, their issues, like so many people that share that vice do.
Yeah, like I was talking with Fish, my bet is the playing ability is going to be the reason why he's not here if he's not here.
Yeah.
Or the playing ability will be. And if he makes it because of his playing ability, then you can now start to worry about, okay, the sobriety. Does he have enough help? You know, what programs do we have for him? What's Davis got in mind for him? You know, what's he doing every day? How's he coping with things? How's his mental health? You know, that all that will take care of itself if, in fact, he makes his team as one of the 55 guys.
I do know some people out there are probably saying, I just don't want my football team, the Dallas Cowboys, to have these kinds of distractions, or I want to have a higher standard. And, you know, some of the great teams throughout history would say you have to act in a way that, you know, gets you the privilege or the permission to be inside this sports team. And there's some honor in that, you know. Like, some organizations would just say, no, we're not going to be the second chance team. But I want my team to be the second chance team. You know, somebody's got to do it. You can't just tell people that mess up, you're never going to be allowed back into society. They have to be incentivized in some way. Otherwise, they'll remain broken.
Is this move going to make or break this football season? Two days ago, we were not talking about Aldon Smith. You know, we're not talking. This is not one of those moves that makes or breaks your football team.
He could get into that locker room, and if Aldon Smith is a bad guy, bye.
Yeah, exactly.
It costs you nothing. It costs you nothing. I mean, I think this move makes all the sense in the world, that if what we're hearing from Jay Glazer, that you've found a guy that's clean and sober, then all right, sweet. Let's see what he's got at age 30. Let's see if he can still play. If not, he won't make the team. He'll get a little bit of money. And if he doesn't fit, bye. There's not a lot of downside here.
Yeah.
The only thing I would do is caution people that if you're looking at it and going, heck yeah, here comes 15 sacks.
No.
I don't know how realistic that is.
Well, yeah. And again, let's see how he's going to play. Let's see how he's going to fit in. Let's see how he is. Is he physically in good shape? Is he mentally where he needs to be? Can Jim Tom Sula pull that out of him that he once did? You know, that's going to be a real key right there. Tom Sula working with him every day. Hey, Aldon, remember when you used to do this? Remember this move? Yeah, remember that? You know, that's, you know, maybe he can't do it anymore, and that will be his downfall. Or maybe he can.
That's a big risk, and I think you're right to say it's going to be the quality of his play that's going to determine how long he sticks around.
Absolutely.
If he can play, well enough to make all these conversations go away for a very long time. I look at the Cowboys' decision to bring him in to the question that you asked as – is it make or break? Your chances of winning the championship kind of broke when Robert Quinn and Byron Jones left the team that was already 8-8, you know? So you're trying to make a winner. You only have so many picks. Your best one's at 17. Are you going to get a difference maker there? No. Are there any free agents that can make a difference at the price? Well, here's one. He's got to get reinstated, but at $4 million, that's your only way to remake, I think, the potential of having a defense so good that you could win a championship.
I wonder if people would feel worse about signing Clowney for $15 or $16 million and him busting. You know, who do you feel – who are you going to – are people going to be more aggravated by the signing of Clowney? Or are they going to be more – are they more aggravated by this guy?
I think a lot of it is people that have had a personal experience with domestic violence, and I can't put myself in their shoes.
Yeah,
you know, it's so personal that that's one of the main things driving the take against.
I am not
Smith.
Saying that doesn't need to be considered. Absolutely. I mean, I you know, trust me, I'm not advocating that. I'm just saying, though, I'm a guy that does believe in second chances. I believe in if a guy or a gal proves to me that they're trying to do better, then I owe them my support is what I do. That's all I'm saying.
I hear you too, man. I mean, it's kind of tough because it puts you in a tough spot, right? Where you have to talk about it and then share your genuine opinion. And people that are really tough on the domestic violence angle of this story might feel like you're being soft or not tough enough on domestic violence. They want to say, if we draw a firm line in the sand, we'll send a strong message to the domestic violence violators that, yes, you can lose your job and you're going to have a hard time for the rest of your life if you ever engage in this. The more, I don't know, understanding person or the person that wants to look progressively at this topic would say the only way you're going to heal a person in that situation is by forgiving them and giving them a second chance so they can try to work back into society without having the triggers that, oh, I need to drink, or I'm in a dispute with my loved one, I'm going to beat you up. So, you know, I think both people, you know, from their life experience, have reasons to believe, you know, because the person they went through a dramatic domestic violence experience in their life, they watched the guy apologize and the wife, yeah, oh, I forgive you. And then two or three months later, it happens again. For them, there's a very visceral real life experience of this being habitual patterns, and you can't trust that dude. And he might be sober now, but guess what's coming up this weekend? Daddy's coming home and he ain't happy. You know, so for those folks, there's nothing that could justify their football team, the football team they love. You've brought in what? The guy that reminds me of my childhood in the most traumatic and unfortunate ways possible. But for other people, it's like, dude, the Kansas City Chiefs just won the Super Bowl with two guys who did worse. And by the way, you know, this is the business of competing for winning football games. So you can either take a couple and try to win, or you can get run over by the team that's willing to take all those guys. So until the NFL says no domestic violence guys on any team, I have to at least be open-minded to it. I think both sides do have an honestly fair point in this deal. All right, when we come back, G-Bag Nation, it's time for Jeff and Brian's draft segment of the day. And where are we going today? We're going to bring in a special guest.
Yeah, Antonio Cromartie, a former Pro Bowl cornerback, evaluated these college players. We're going to get his idea and his eye on next.
Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Antonio Cromartie set to join us here as it's time now for Jeff and Brian's draft segment of the day. Segment's brought to you by Carbach Brewing. And it's brought to you by the City of Dallas and by Rubin & Associates. If you're drowning in debt, call our guy Mark Rubin, 800-LAWYERS. Mark will talk with you personally, take control of your debt, eliminate your stress, and allow you to live life again. It all starts with a simple, confidential phone call to Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. Mark Rubin, Rubin & Associates there, 800-LAWYERS. And here they are, Jeff and Brian, with your draft segment of the day. Gentlemen.
Hi, guys. Appreciate that. I hit that mic button there for a second.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, Jeff. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Super. Hey, really excited to have my guy on the phone here. I was going around looking at stuff about looking for evaluations of cornerbacks in the around, you know, these college kids. I'm always interested to see what different takes that guys have and some gals. They have some guys and gals have takes on these cornerbacks. And I found one of the best ones. My guy, Antonio Cromartie. Hey, first off, how you doing, my friend? You doing all right out there?
I'm doing good. Enjoying this. I'm out actually walking my dog right now, so I'm enjoying it right now.
You enjoying it right now? Well, I found your work on Cover One. You were breaking down all these cornerbacks. And okay. I was interested in your take about him. And how did you do you every year do you break down guys? Do you sit down and look at these kids, or do you just focus on the corners? Or you focus on all the kids in the draft?
Honestly, I try to focus on all of them. Well, my main focus be really on the secondary. You know, I just try to put my input in and do evaluations from that standpoint. But it also just for me, it helps me to be able to evaluate some of my high school guys that I train here in Houston from that standpoint. So it just gives me another outlook just as a trainer and also as my future of being a coach, being able to evaluate guys also.
So you've like I said, you sat down and you had some really good opinions on these guys because we're here, you know, in Dallas, we're talking about, okay, they lose Byron Jones. And now the thought turns into, okay, what cornerbacks could they use to replace Byron Jones? And then you broke all these guys down, and you know you did me. And the one that caught my attention, I know Jeffrey Okuda, you know, he's the top cornerback on everybody's board, so you know that's like a pipe dream for Cowboy fans. That's not going to happen. But I want to walk me through what you saw in C.J. Henderson. You know, everybody's kind of – we're talking about him as a guy, C.J. Henderson from Florida. What did you see when you broke down C.J. Henderson there from Florida?
What I saw was, honestly, he reminded me a lot of myself, actually just coming out, athletic guy that can play the position, but wasn't very technique sound. I don't think he's a technician as you would look in like a Jeff Okuda.
Right.
Because when you watch the film, I mean, the plays that C.J. Henderson makes, a lot of guys cannot make. And you can tell when you're watching the film, he baits the quarterback because he doesn't get a lot of pass suicide. He baits the quarterback into throwing the ball. I know one particular play that I was breaking down on cover one where he – played bad technique, but was able to recover because of his speed and ball skills. A ball that I said he should have picked off against LSU. I could have changed the game. But when you're looking at guys, your whole main focus is, does he know what he's doing? When he gets in trouble, does he panic? Another thing is, you know, is his eyes and feet and hands are good when he's up in press or even playing this off technique that I see a lot of guys are playing a lot more of that I truly hate because a lot of guys are in no man's land. They're about 4 to 5 yards off and playing man-to-man coverage. But it just gives you a breakdown and outlook of what kind of guy this guy is. I think he's going to be a great playmaker. I think he moves very well, have great hips. Just his technique side of the ball is where he's going to have to pick up. Because at this level, you can be athletic as I don't know what, but when you have to depend on your technique, your athleticism has to go out of the window because that'll come when the ball's in the air. You have to be technique sound or you're going to lose, you know, 50% of the battles up here. And you don't want to lose 50% of the battles up here because those end up being touchdowns on 50-50 balls or whatever it may be.
Antonio Cromartie with us here on 105.3 The Fan. So other than Jeff Okuda, as Brian just said, I think there's zero chance that the Cowboys have a chance to draft him. That Henderson scouting report is sort of a little bit, it's mostly up, but then also some of the negatives. Who do you feel like are some of the guys in this class that you are impressed with their technique, even at the college level?
You know, I'm going to move from the corner position. The guy that's actually really caught my eye that I've been watching the last couple of days is Antoine Whitfield Jr.
Okay.
Minnesota. Yeah. This kid here, man, he just does everything right. I mean, from the tackling to reading the plays to understanding where everyone else is, from his punt return ability, the kid just is. I mean, doesn't wow you in the shorts. As we were going to the combine, the guy that wows you that's in tights doesn't do that, but his film play is remarkable. Probably one of the best safeties that I've seen play probably in like the last 5 years at the college level.
And
his football awareness, his ball skills, and all that stuff just is impeccable. You can't teach it. He just has a knack for it. He has a knack for being around the ball at all times. And it just shows week in and week out as you watch the film on him from this previous year.
You know, Antonio, I was going to ask you, though, okay, do you worry about – now, you're a long guy yourself. You're a long player. Do you worry about a safety that does it – that lacks that length to them? Because you talk about playing the ball and being able to deny it and stuff like that. Can a guy that's shorter play that safety that way? I mean, I'm sure we talk about the Honey Badger and guys like that, but do you feel like, though, the lack of length might hurt him a little bit?
I'm like this. As I'm getting more into the evaluation period, I'm looking for football players.
Okay.
I'm not worried about the length. I'm not worried. If you turn on the tape and that guy has that it factor, I don't care if he's 5'6". The guy deserves to be way he needs to be. I just think we have to get out of this. Well, this guy here is 6'2", Yeah, but every guy's not going to be 6'2 and able to have great hips, great hands, great coordination or football IQ or anything else. They just there. They look 6'2". He may be only a cover two corner. He may be only a guy that can play off. He can't play press. Or a guy that can only play press that can't play off, because now that where you get into the scheme of things is where it all relies on, because now you have to put this guy in a scheme and he only can play a certain way. Like, I wasn't high on – what's the kid last year that's in Cleveland that was at LSU? Greedy?
Yeah.
Greedy Williams.
Greedy Williams, yeah.
I wasn't high on him at all. Just for the simple fact, he can't play off and he really couldn't play man-to-man. He didn't show that he had great hips as a defensive back, and he was like a loose cannon. Like, his body movement was everywhere. I wasn't high on him last year as I was watching his film. It wasn't impressive at all.
And
I think they just get on too much of the length rather than the football player.
Antonio Cromartie here with us on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. We mentioned replacing Byron Jones earlier. Antonio, I'd love your thoughts on the Cowboys' decision to not make him a higher priority in free agency.
Honestly, I think that was the best decision the Cowboys made.
Ooh, okay,
that's just me being a defensive back. I think that was the best decision the Cowboys made, because he has only had two interceptions his whole entire time there. How can you pay a guy top dollar that doesn't change the outcome of a game, or that can't make plays to change a game? Yeah, you can cover a number one receiver, but are you making the plays that you need to make to, like, if, say, for instance, the Cowboys down by three, they throw the ball on third down and they need an interception or a turnover to change the game, or he can't make that play. I haven't seen him make that play at all. I'm going to put it that way. And I'm not going to pay a guy that can only cover but make plays $16.5 million, $17 million a year. That doesn't work my way. And I think the Cowboys made a great move, and they can get a better guy in the draft that can make those plays and make that turnover for them when that time is needed.
So if the guy is – if you're watching the tape, though, Antonio, and you're seeing him, but the ball's not going in his direction, but he's in position, I'm sure there were plenty of times, you know, I remember scouting you in the league, ball's not going your direction – I didn't give you a minus because, you know, you weren't making I saw you in position. You know, so but if you're one of those guys, isn't he one of those guys? Isn't he a guy that he stays in position? He's got the footwork, the things that you look for in a quality corner.
He has that in a quality corner, but am I paying for a quality corner or an elite corner?
Okay. But doesn't an elite corner play in a way of denying the ball, the keeping the ball from going his direction, though?
Yes, but also, is he a Darrell Revis type?
Okay.
Darrell Revis did the same thing, but he still made plays on the ball when the ball was thrown his way. That's what I'm saying. It's the factor of, yes, I'm an elite shutdown corner at the same time, but I'm making the plays that's supposed to be made. Like, I think if the ball touches your hands as a defensive back, you have to make that play for your offense to get them back on the field. Those are game-changing plays. I didn't see that. And you could put Revis in that point, but Darrell Revis made those type of plays in his prime. He made those plays. He made the interceptions. He made the fumbles. The forced fumbles and things like that. There's different ways that you can change a game. They don't have to just be interceptions. They can be fumble recovers. It'd be on third downs, on plays like that, to make those plays. And I just didn't see that coming from him this year. Now, if he would have had the year that he had the year before this year,
right?
I would say give him the money. But he didn't have that. It was nobody in that Dallas Cowboys secondary that you could depend on to make a play this year. And I wasn't.
Antonio,
I don't see them paying that money for a guy that couldn't do that.
Antonio Cromartie with us here on 105.3 The Fan. We've been really lucky because obviously Brian brought us scouted in the NFL and worked in front offices, and I've been doing draft stuff with him for 6 or 7 years now. And a lot of our listeners, I think, like to play along and like to break down tape. So when you are watching a cornerback Can you give us a brief checklist of what it is exactly that you're looking for?
Yes. I'll give you my top five. My number one thing is technique, eye placement. DBs, most DBs, they don't have great eyes. They don't know how to go from the receiver, from quarterback to receiver, very quickly. Most guys, they keep their eyes in the backfield, and then they drift away from the receiver. So that's my number one thing. Play recognition. Do guys understand play recognition? Do they see a guy running to the flat knowing that there's only two routes that number one can run? It's either going to be a slant or it's going to be a curl. No, it's understanding play recognition. I think is playmaking ability for me. Are they able to make the play that they're supposed to make? And number five is going to be tackling. Can he come up in the run game and make the tackle in the run game?
Antonio Cromartie, great stuff, man. Yeah. Just a couple of questions here while we're finishing up. I wonder what you think of J. Lou and Cheeto going into year four and how much potential they still have for improvement here with the Cowboys.
The potential is high, but you got to think about this. That's probably one of the reasons why they didn't want to pay $16, $17 million for Byron Jones, too. I think they see things in Cheeto and Leo that other people don't see. I think those guys are able to make the plays that they need to. I think there needs to be more consistency throughout the thing. I think you can't be up and down if you're a guy that they're dependent on. I think they have to work on more consistency of playing the play every single play and every single week, knowing that no matter if the ball's thrown to me, I have to make a play on the ball. If it's, my goal was you couldn't get more than 50 yards a game. That was my goal, eliminate the catches no more than 50 yards a game. And that's something these guys got to understand. It's not just going out there and just play the position. You have to know everybody. You got to know who the offensive coordinator is. Understand who you're playing against, because every offense is basically the same. It's just the terminology and the route combinations and how they shift in motion to different things, how it's going to play out, knowing that if this guy, like New England, was big on whoever the motion guy was the primary receiver 85% of the time. So it's just understanding, those guys got to be more consistent, study their film. And I think their potential level will peak at the right time for the Cowboys.
All right. We'll let you go. Take care. Best of luck training those kids down there in the pandemic. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
There he goes. The great Antonio Cromartie here with us on 105.3 The Fan. He's become a scout now, a media scout, training players and working towards becoming a coach. Sounds like he's on the right track to me.
Yeah, he's got some interesting takes. There's no question about that.
If I remember right, him and Philip Rivers together could field basically a full 11 offense and defense, about 22 there.
And then some. A couple special teamers, too. New NFL memo lays foundation for an about-face on small war rooms. What's the latest in their draft plan to the league office? That's coming up next as we go around the NFL here in the G-Bag Nation. All right, welcome back, G-Bag Nation. It's time to go around the NFL here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. Here he is, Brian Broaddus with First Down.
Thank you very much, General. Appreciate that. We talk about what can these owners do to help this situation that we're in. And, we've talked about Mark Cuban a bunch on the show. But it looks like Bob Kraft and his family have done some good things. They've taken their team plane. The Patriots, one of the few teams in the National Football League that have their own aircraft that they travel on. And it just so happens that they sent it to China.
I bet he did.
Yeah. To to send it over there to pick up 1.2 million N95 masks.
So, are we sure that's all he picked up?
Well,
okay, guys.
We're trying to talk about some good things that the Kraft family did here. But
balance is important.
But it is important.
You can do some good and make a little turn real quick, bend around corner.
I don't know if he was actually on the plane.
Make
himself.
A pit stop.
Yeah. Yeah, but the Massachusetts governor, Charlie Baker believed that he had brokered a deal last month to acquire more than 1 million masks from a collection of Chinese manufacturers, but he didn't have any way to get the goods out of there. And that's where the Patriots got involved. So good for the Patriots and a lot of people coming together to try and help folks get some things squared away here.
Doing the Lord's work. I saw Robert Kraft had a statement there towards the bottom of one of the stories I read about it, and he said that he was just blown away with how much red tape there was to cut through just to go pick up some masks to help a country in the middle of a damn pandemic.
Yeah, they were on the plane was on the ground for almost 3 hours as the cargo was loaded, but the whole thing was they were talking about, hey, nobody gets off the plane. We're just going to put the put the cargo on, and you guys can be on your way. So that was something that the Crafts came up with actually $2 million to make sure that all this is also taken care of as well.
All right, good stuff there as we go around the NFL here on your home of the Cowboys daily at 4:40. Here's Jeff Cavanaugh with Second Down.
I'd like to present the other side of that coin. One of my favorite interviews that we interviewed, I don't know, probably all 85 years in a row that we went to the Super Bowl and interviewed all the same people. Kyle Turley, that was one of my guys, right? Kyle Turley.
San Diego State.
Heck of a football player. Big CBD guy. He's got a CBD company. And he hooked us up with he'd hook us up with stuff.
And, XPF.
Loved him for that. Yeah, the Neuro XPF. Yeah, well, he ran into a little trouble with the coronavirus.
Uh-oh.
He lied!
Yeah, he
CBD doesn't cure it.
He went with this tweet. The U.S. FDA will one day acknowledge the power of cannabis and its ability to prevent and cure COVID-19 every other disease.
Oh, no, so, Kyle.
Did you explain his little reasoning just to go a little deeper?
Yeah, I'd love to hear it.
No, I didn't. Feel free.
The endocannabinoid system? Helps boost your immune system if that's taken care of. That's what he's basically saying.
Okay.
It hasn't been totally studied here in this country because we just let go of the regulations so we can look at it actually. So we don't know if that's true.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to go to the CBD shop or order some on favor. But apparently he heard from the FDA or something because a day later he went with in all capital letters, okay, you're all right, I'll admit it. Cheap CBD band products will not prevent or cure COVID-19. But he did put the word cheap. So,
only Tom Brady can get away with stuff like this.
I think he's still kind of holding on to and just saying, make sure you're buying from me and not some knockoff when he says cheap CBD brand products will not prevent or cure COVID-19. So I'm not endorsing trying CBD as something to cure COVID-19, but I do think it's tasty and delicious and has many medical benefits.
There's something weird going on, though, that we have an endocannabinoid system inside of our bodies, and it exists naturally in a plant, you know? Isn't that crazy? Like, how are our bodies so similar to the dang weed plant? Isn't that crazy? Like, what Lucius brought up, like, there's, like, cannabis receptors in our brain somehow. How that even get to be there?
First humans smoked a lot.
Yeah, I heard that it could be passed down from your families. Like if your dad or mom smoked, then you have the receptors. But I don't know if that's true because we just now have been able to start researching. Yeah. Who knows if that's true?
So from my understanding, like everybody has an endocannabinoid system,
yes,
though?
Yes, sir.
But we're not quite sure on how it interacts with the plan or with the rest of stuff quite yet. Okay.
Probably means that our ancestors were a
bunch of dopers.
Herbivores that were eating the marijuana plants.
Yeah.
That would explain why.
Which is good for you, by the way.
It took us so many years to figure out farming and science. We're all sitting around baked. You know what I'm saying? So there goes another millennia. You want to do anything? Nah.
Thank God we discovered other drugs to get us locked in.
Yeah. Meth came around. All of a sudden, people got super productive for like 6 months.
I'm concerned.
Then they turned paranoid and wouldn't come out of the cave. Oh, okay, third down here. Around the NFL is brought to you by Windstar World Casino and Resort. Salute to those guys. New NFL memo laying the foundation for an about face on the idea of the small war room. Brian, you sent me this text earlier, so jump in where necessary. But yesterday, Pro Football Talk had asked the NFL, what are you going to do with the idea of war rooms if you have local and maybe even federal jurisdictions at that point that are saying, listen, no groups of people, 6 feet of social distancing, how are those things going to be reconciled? And the NFL has released a statement today towards curious media members here as we sit 3 weeks from draft day. They still aren't sure, but they have two different options that they are considering. The first one would be to allow teams to gather at club facilities subject to mandatory health and safety guidelines, or two, just having the draft conducted totally in remote fashion with the picks in their personal residences and the league officials drafting them and organizing everything, just coming in on different video feeds. I think option B has got to be the clear winner because we don't know how much worse things are going to get. So if you start planning, which you need at least a couple of weeks to pull off all the logistics, you have to go with the most definitively pull-offable idea, don't you? As
yeah.
I just made up a word.
No, I understood.
That's a great word.
Yeah,
though.
I totally understood what you're saying. I think you have to pick one and be committed. You know, you're not. It's not one of these. Okay, we have two plans. It's like we have got to do either A or B, and go with it. And me personally, I feel like the plan A, if you could get it in the room, if you could tell me every day, I have a very, very small staff. I have my bank of phones to my teams. I have the ability to track on my board the players that are being taken, you know, and then I can conduct trades and businesses because I'm all together and I don't lose track of who's responsible for what. In a war room, everybody's got a responsibility.
Yeah.
And if you're in a bunch of different spots and something falls through the cracks because you're on the clock and you miss an opportunity –
yeah,
that's what I would be worried about right there.
It sounds fairly easy to me. I think, you know, you get a Zoom room or you get up Skype or FaceTime or whatever. But you are talking about a lot of older people and you're talking about broadband being still at times unreliable. You know, so I mean, I've had to reset my computer now 2 days so far of the 9 that we've been with this remote broadcast situation. What if that happens in the middle of the draft? You're trying to hear from your medical people.
I think most teams bought the upgraded internet package. You paid $9.99 a month, so
okay.
That's a tough deal.
You'd be surprised, Jeff.
Dial up every morning.
Yeah, you'd be surprised at what NFL teams actually do.
Oh no!
Yeah. Trust me on that.
It ties up the phone line.
I've lived it. Yeah, I've lived this. Yeah.
This thing operates like it's $9.99. I tell you, I think I need to call them and raise hell and say, "Listen, we're doing a damn radio show from Studio G in a closet. I need the boost." They're like, well, we're giving you the most we can.
Yeah.
No, if so, I was
well, if that's the most you can, I got bad news for you because I got a blue check mark and I'm about to tweet out that your internet sucks.
Oh, yeah. Now, I don't mean to threaten you, but tell me exactly what you'd like me to tweet in regards to this situation. I'm tweeting something. You go ahead. Choose to tweet. No, you.
I can't lie.
Do you want me
to tweet out that you guys have fixed my issue and that the internet's great? Because you could make that happen real quick. Or did you want me to talk about the struggles that we're having? I don't know. What are we doing here? I don't know.
Okay, looks like we got a goat mansion in Tampa Bay, and Tom Brady is renting it from another goat. Yeah, we'll tell you that and more as we get into the 5 o'clock hour and the top breaking stories of the day coming up next in the G-Bag Nation.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.